Welcome.
Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this Thursday, December 20th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next hour and 5 hour and 10 minutes or so. We're going over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Glad to have you with me as two professional handicappers join me here today. The first, Brad Powers from BradPowersSports.com. We'll hit 10 bowl games and a couple of NFL games during that segment with Brad. Second half of today's show, Tony George from Doc Sports will join us. We'll talk about Chiefs versus Seahawks here in the NFL, Duke and Texas Tech tonight, Kansas and Arizona State on Saturday, and then also a little bit of Christmas NBA handicapping to wrap up this show. Over at BangTheBook.com, we are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information. Lots of great resources, lots of helpful articles over there. Make sure you check all of that out and see what you can take advantage of beating the books here this weekend and beyond. Don't forget about our free pick contests as well. You can sign up and win some cash prizes with those. Lots going on our YouTube page right now. A lot more videos than usual, so subscribe to those. You can get a look at my videos. I'll have my Thursday 3-pack coming up here today. And also, tomorrow we'll have some fun with our Friday Partey Parlay video. Then Sunday morning, a look at the NFL. So you want to make sure you're checking out our YouTube page for all of the latest content that we have going up over there. And then, of course, as you know, this and every edition of Bang the Book Radio, presented by our friends over at DSI Sportsbook. You sign up at DSI using that promo code BTB200. Good for a 100% deposit match bonus up to $500 for the sportsbook and the same thing for the live casino at BetDSI. It's only a game until you bet it. Two guests on the program here today. The first, professional handicapper Brad Powers from BradPowersSports.com. Brad, how's it going today, man?
What's going well? How you doing on this fine Thursday morning?
Doing very well, buddy. Appreciate your time as always here, sir. And before we dig into the 10 bowl games I want to talk about, which are Saturday's 4-pack, Wednesday's 3 games, and then next Thursday's 3 games, because we'll have a lot of games to get to on your segment next week. Overall bowl impressions, anything standing out to you here so far?
Well, I mean, if you like chalk, you're doing quite well. I mean, the chalks went 7-0 straight up, 6-1 against the number, and most of them not even close. So a little bit surprised because more often than not, I like to take dogs in bowl games, but not surprised that we're getting a lot of blowouts, because if you're looking for one time a year where you're going to see a lot of blowouts, or I should say at least a lot of variance to the line, it'd be bowl season because of the disparity between motivation and players skipping out and coaches leaving or worried about where they're going to be next year, getting fired or not. So, and not surprised that we've seen some, Vegas hasn't been close to the line with the exception of the Georgia Southern Eastern Michigan game. Keep in mind, last year, the 20 favorites that covered in last year's bowl games did so by 13 points per game. Of the 19 underdogs that covered in last year's bowl game, 16 of them won the game outright. So, we're at least, I know it's been chalk heavy, but as far as the variance goes, we see a lot of variance to the line. And I guess what I'm getting at, if you are teasing college football bowl games, stop it right now. Do not tease college football in general, especially bowl games.
Well, we see a lot of money coming in on the favorite here tonight, Marshall, up from 2 to 3.5. So we'll see if the favorites go to 8-0 straight up, 7-1 against the number. Dog money on Friday in the Bahamas Bowl. So that's always scary when you get a really popular underdog, but FIU taking a good amount of money there, down from 6.5 to 4.5. BYU still a 12-point favorite out there for the Potato Bowl against Western Michigan. But Brad, you and I are going to start on Saturday here with the Birmingham Bowl, Wake Forest and Memphis. This number down from 4 to 3.5 or 3 minus $1.15 out there. That's kind of the prevailing number right now with Daryl Henderson skipping the bowl game.
Yeah, and I mean, he's an important player. I mean, I could argue non-quarterbacks. I mean, one of the most valuable players in college football outside of the quarterback position, a guy that's number two in the country in rushing nearly 2,000 yards. To me, it's an indicator of whether or not that team is, generally excited to be there. I think that this is a rare case where you got the Power 5 team in Wake Forest that's probably more excited to be there than the Group of 5 team, Memphis. Memphis coming up short yet again against Central Florida in the American Athletic Championship game. Wake Forest is one of those teams that's sitting there dead in the water late in the year. And what do? They pull off a big upset against NC State on a Thursday night, and then in the finale play their best game of the season by crushing Duke 59-7. And one of your other guests that you normally have on, Ralph Michaels from Cal Sports, he has a great trend, and it makes a lot of sense. In the last 10 years, teams that are 5-6 and win that last game to clinch bowl eligibility to get to 6-6, how do those teams do in bowl games? They're excited. They're 41-21 against the spread in the last 10 years. Wake Forest fits that trend. In this particular case, I like the Demon Deacons plus 3.5.
I also think, too, that this is a pretty underrated coaching matchup here. I actually really like the job that Mike Norvell has done. I like that he brought in Brady White, a kid he was familiar with, that he recruited to Arizona State, you know, to replace what Memphis lost in Riley Ferguson. Obviously, like Dave Clawson and the job that he's done there with Wake Forest. I like this coaching matchup quite a bit, and I'll be interested to see how Norvell can get his team up. You know, do they go 9-5? Do they go 8-6? Can they bounce back from that AAC loss? I think this game will tell me a lot about Mike Norvell, because I do like him a lot, and I want to see how his team responds.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the coaching, because it's going to be all on Mike Norvell. He lost 3 assistant coaches, including both of his coordinators, here in the last 10 days. So it's extra workload for him with signing day this week, and then obviously preparing for a game. A very stressful week for Mike Norvell. I agree with you. I'm a little surprised he doesn't have a bigger job at this point yet. But, I would say coaching edge just from a man-hours aspect in favor of Wake Forest for this one.
That's a hell of a point. I saw Chris Ball, and I mentioned that on Monday's show, I think, but I didn't know that he lost some other guys as well. So big deal there for Memphis, obviously, in this game, and certainly explains the line move a little bit for the Birmingham Bowl down in, obviously, Birmingham, Alabama. Let's go to the Armed Forces Bowl game, 223-224. Houston, Army. Army money hitting the board here this week, up from 3 to 4.5 or 5. You agree with the move, Brad?
Yeah, I do. I mean, well, it doesn't fit my power ratings, but I think at this point in the season, you know, again, power ratings are a good jumping off point, but there's going to be huge disparities in motivation. And in this particular case, I don't know if I fully have the Houston injury situation factored in appropriately. Significant downgrade for De'Aaron King being out the last couple of games. And then when you look at just the matchup, Houston's defensive line without 4 key players in that 2-deep led by Ed Oliver, not a good matchup against an Army team that will be excited to be here. This game is sold out, and I know it's close to Texas, but I still think Army will have the crowd edge here in the Armed Forces Bowl. I don't ever question Service Academy's motivation when it comes to these bowl games. They're trying to win a school record 11 wins, and Army's got some good history back to the 40s as far as a football program goes. And then I look at also a key stat. I don't know how Houston's on the field. They're dead last already in the country in time of possession. Well, who's number one in the country in time of possession? Army. So I think Army controls the football, probably have the ball for 40-plus minutes. Houston, when they have the ball, will score, but definitely not enough. I'll take Army minus the 4.5.
Well, one thing that we touched on earlier in the week here on the show, and it's always important to keep checking back in with those weather forecasts. Initially, 20-mile-per-hour wind gusts for this game. That forecast has been relaxed a little bit to wind gusts in the 10 to 12-mile-per-hour range. So that will help Houston when they actually have the football. But as you mentioned, Brad, you know, big-time disparity here in time of possession. And also, too, you know, we talk about this. Service Academy teams, the ones that chew up a bunch of clock, you better be real efficient with your possessions. For Houston now, with a quarterback that has a pass, completion rate 44.7%, efficiency may not be in the vocabulary for them.
Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not as efficient as what they were with De'Aaron King, who had 50 total touchdowns in the first 11 games of the season. I question that. And I just don't know if from an execution aspect, if Houston's mature enough to do so. I don't know if they're mature enough at head coach. And I'm not a huge fan of Major Apple. I loved him as a player at Texas, but I think he's been relatively underwhelming so far in the first couple of years here in Houston. I just don't think Houston right now is buttoned up as a program, and you have to be to compete with this Army train that's rolling right now the last couple of seasons.
Well, we know that Navy wasn't very good this year, but Navy still 349 rushing yards, 5.2 yards per carry on Houston, one of their better offensive performances of the year. They also threw for 178 yards in that game, which that was probably a season high for Navy. You probably know better than I do, but I'm guessing it was a season high for Navy. So Navy moved the football a lot. And also Army, too. I got to say, not to go off on a tangent on this game, but that Army-Navy game, I loved the creativity from Army with throwing the football, with some of their gadget plays, with some of the running plays that they had. I thought they were so much more creative than Navy. Really played a big role in that game. I don't know if Houston will be ready for it.
Yeah, and that's the difference between this year's Army team. They didn't throw the football much at all last year with Bradshaw quarterback. With Hopkins, they've thrown the ball about 2.5-3 times as much as what they did a year ago. So, yeah, they're much better on the offense side of the ball. Defense, I think, is taking a little bit of a step back, but it hasn't showed up in the stats because the defense is never on the field. So the Army efficiency, especially on fourth down, when they converted 90% so far this season. You mentioned the play callings there. I mean, they are just rolling right now at Army. It'll be interesting to see if Munkin gets a bigger job. I thought he would. I get it. Georgia Tech wanted to move away from the option, but he would have been a nice fit there if they wanted to continue that at Georgia Tech.
One more thing. I want your take on this and how much matters if you factor it into the line, something like that. You know, for Army, I mean, it basically felt like coming off. It feels like coming off of a bye because they played December 8th against Navy, had last week off. Feels, you know, pretty standard. Houston hasn't played since November 23rd. So that has to be an edge for Army as well.
Yeah, you get a little bit of rust factor for Houston being a month off. And Army, to me, just probably treated it like a bye week and just went right around and went about their business. So, again, I'd rather have just a bye week this time of year than be sitting there. And I get it, you don't get as much time in between the games, but, I mean, they're practicing for Navy. So, I mean, I got to think those practices were extremely efficient. So, to me, I agree with you. Advantage Army here. You got a week off to heal up the bumps and bruises. And keep in mind, prior to that, Army had a double bye prior to the Navy game. So, yeah, they're very well rested here. Houston, again, I mean, a month off, and I don't know what the motivation here for the Cougars. I'm not saying it's one of my favorite bets of the year, but definitely a strong lean on Army at this point.
All right, let's go to Buffalo versus Troy in the Dollar General Bowl. I've been in the South. My wife is from the South. I can tell you that you cannot throw a rock in any southern town in any direction without hitting a Dollar General. So pretty fitting sponsor here for this bowl game. Really good game, I think, here. I think this is probably the best game of Saturday with Buffalo, a slight favorite down in Alabama against Troy. This number opened 3. It's come down to as low as 1 out there at Bookmaker, 1.5 in a lot of places, and a couple of straight 2s as well.
Yeah, and I'm on the Troy side here. I like Troy quite a bit. But I do want to mention I got him at a better number, 3 being a key number. Although I can't be hypocritical here. I just said that we have more variance and the lines don't matter as much bowl season. So, at this point, with a low line, might as well just bet Troy on the money line. To me, I think Troy will have a significant crowd advantage here, that they're less than 3 hours away in a football-hungry state in the state of Alabama. Buffalo's more than 1,100 miles away. I get it. Buffalo's only in a bowl game for the second time in the last decade, so they should be relatively excited. But I also think Buffalo might still be smarting from that loss in the MAC championship game where they blew a 19-point lead. Troy's been there, done that. Neil Brown, I'm stunned, hasn't gotten a job at a bigger school yet. They got a chance to get to 10 wins, won and covered at least their first two bowl games. Just generally speaking, has been a money covering machine here the last 3 years under Neil Brown, the head coach for Troy. I'll take the Trojans plus the points.
Something I'm kind of curious about, you mentioned Neil Brown, and I thought Lance Leipold might have been a decent hire at Temple. I thought if Temple wanted to go that route, that might not have been a bad move to grab the head coach at Buffalo. But both of these coaches staying with their programs, at least for now. You know, for Neil Brown, who probably did have a better chance at upgrading his job than Leipold, is this sort of an additional motivating factor to him to say, hey, you know, for whatever reason, nobody wants me yet, but I can win 10 games. Beat a 10-game winner, and really show out in this bowl game, does it kind of give him a little bit more incentive as an individual?
Yeah, I see to a certain extent, but I would think, you know, as far as the data points and whether or not you're going to hire Neil Brown, I mean, how about winning in Lincoln, Nebraska, and how about Baton Rouge, Louisiana last year against LSU? I think those are pretty strong data points in the overall body of work. And keep in mind, I mean, they lost their quarterback midway through the season. One of their losses was that first start and without the quarterback, Barker. So I win or lose, I'm not going to, you know, my at least judgment or assessment of Neil Brown isn't going to change as far as I'm concerned.
All right, let's go out to Hawaii, something I wish we all could do here at this time of the year. Louisiana Tech takes on the Rainbow Warriors. Hawaii, one-point favorite. Seems like this line could be trending down towards Pick'em now. It opened 2-1 across the board. There is one Pick'em out there at Bet Online, but it's Pick minus $1.25, so effectively minus one. What do you think about the Hawaii Bowl here with Skip Holtz taking an underachieving Louisiana Tech team out to the islands?
You know, I'm going to go with the over in this one. Anytime Hawaii's been involved in the Hawaii Bowl last, 15 years, points aplenty. The over compared to this, totals line where it is right now, it would be a perfect 6-0 whenever Hawaii's in the Hawaii Bowl. And what I have seen from Skip Holtz is underachieving during the regular season, but overachieving in the bowl games here as of late, 1-4 straight bowl games. And offensively, they really opened it up in the bowl games. Their last four, they've averaged 45 points per game in those bowl games. So I think they'll have no problem moving the football up and down the field. And Hawaii defensively has allowed 42 points per game in their last six games. And they have that unique run and shoot that they went to this past year. They were hot early on in the season, cold for the middle part, but kind of heated up at the end. So I'm going to go for points aplenty there. I do have a lean on Louisiana Tech plus the one, but stronger lean on over 61.
All right, let's tap into some bowl games we haven't talked about yet here on the show. We'll go to next Wednesday, December 26th, Boston College and Boise State in the First Responder Bowl. This used to be the Heart of Dallas Bowl, but this is down at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas. Boston College getting some love here. This number was 3.5, down to 2.5, and even some twos at a place like Pinnacle, one of the sharper offshores out there. So Boston College definitely getting the preferred action here so far.
Yeah, lean for BC for me. I think part of the reason why they struggled down the last couple games of the season, their quarterback Anthony Brown and their running back A.J. Dillon just wasn't 100% down the stretch. So here's a team that went from, hosting College game day in that big game against Clemson and then pretty much fell apart after that one, losing, in the final minute against Florida State and getting crushed by Syracuse in the finale. To me, they're going to be a little bit healthier. So lean on Boston College for me. Although I'm stronger for me is on the under, and I get it, BC's skill position guys are going to be healthier, and both teams like to run a little bit of pace, but just matchup-wise, both teams prefer to run the football. Boston College ran the ball 62% of the time this year. If you watch Boise State in their last couple of games, it was old school. Alex Madison, their running back left. Alex Madison, their running back right. He had 77 carries in the final two games alone. Both teams' strength on defense is stopping the run. So I got both teams that prefer to do that and can stop it. The under's cashed in each of Boise's last five games. It's cashed in four of Boston College's last five games. I'm going under the total, under 55.5.
Now, what do you think about this game in terms of, Boise State coming off of losing the Mountain West Championship game to Fresno State in overtime, a very hard-nosed physical football game there in that one with a lot of bad weather as well. So they're coming off a little bit of a disappointment, whereas for Boston College, the entire second half of the season felt like a disappointment. So, from a motivation standpoint, you think both of these teams are ready to go?
Ooh, that's a good question. No, I don't. I got question marks for both teams. I think I have a little bit more question marks on the Boise side just from the disappointment for them. But they've handled their business decently in bowl games under their head coach, Brian Harsin. I mean, they won and covered three of the four. So, a little bit of question marks on the BC side. You know, not playing. I guess Boise is more of a name brand a little bit. Maybe they're feeling a little bit disrespected. They're catching points against a group of five school like Boise. But I would say slight advantage on BC from a motivational aspect.
All right, let's go to Ford Field in Detroit, Michigan. And I've been to Detroit. I'm sure we got a lot of listeners in the Detroit area as well. Not the greatest place to go for a bowl game. When you talk about, you know, hoping to go somewhere nice or maybe somewhere warm for a bowl game, Detroit, Michigan, not really what you think about. Obviously, a much shorter trip here for the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Longer trip for Georgia Tech. On the fast track, though, there at Ford Field. Georgia Tech up from 4 to 5.5 for this game. And, you know, a lot of that because this is Paul Johnson's last game as the head coach.
Yeah, a motivating factor. You'd think positive for Georgia Tech. They're wanting to send the guy off, Paul Johnson, off on the sunset. He'll probably be a College Football Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. I mean, not just his job he did here with Georgia Tech, but obviously also at Navy and to a lesser extent winning a couple national titles at the FCS level at Georgia Southern. But I also think some of the line moves in Minnesota, I mean, their best defensive player, Blake Cashman, their leading tackler at linebacker, he's deciding to sit out. Minnesota's best offensive lineman and the tackle, the Green, he's sitting out. And then, you know, story broke last week that six players from Minnesota are going to be suspended for this game. They haven't named them yet, so it'll be interesting to see who they are. And we saw some early line movement on Georgia Tech in that regard. I'm on the Georgia Tech side here. I get it. Minnesota has time to prep for the option, but man, on a fast track, it's tough to prep for the option when you don't ever see it and Minnesota doesn't. And the fact that, you know, Georgia Tech's you know, number one in the – I mean, people see it year in and year out in the ACC and they still can't stop it. I mean, Georgia Tech in the final year under Paul Johnson led the country in rushing. So take Georgia Tech. Maybe I'm rooting a little sentimental value here too. I kind of like to see Paul Johnson go out a winner. Give me the Yellow Jackets minus the points.
I think the line for the side makes sense. I think the line movement for the side makes sense. The total is what's really strange to me. This number opened 61. It's come down to 57.5. I mean, this has not been an efficient or good Minnesota offense. Again, a game with limited possessions, as I mentioned earlier, with the option game with Army. The total is something that I mean, even at this point, I'm still not sure why it's that high.
Yeah, and I mean, the under's cashed in each of Minnesota's last three games. But, I mean, they have been putting up points, believe it or not, you know, starting with the Indiana game, 38, 31, 41. Of course, when I bet on them, they have a huge bet in the Northwestern game. They only put up 14, turn right around, benefit from turnovers against Wisconsin, and have 37. So they have been putting points on the board there. And, I mean, Georgia Tech, at least, I mean, no one was really slowing them down early in the season. When you know, I guess I go back to the Bowling Green and Louisville games when they put up 60 plus in those. I do lean under, but again, to me, I prefer the Georgia Tech side. I'm looking to see where I have this game power. You know, I have it at 55, so I mean, I agree with you. You know, the under is a definite lean here, even at 57.5.
All right, let's go out to the Cheez-Its Bowl. This is at Chase Field in Phoenix, formerly known as the Cactus Bowl. The best bowl logo of the year goes to the Cheez-It Bowl, by the way. Cal and TCU in this one. Cal now a one-point favorite. Haven't seen a whole lot of movement on this game. And typically when we see a pick'em line, it does move one way or the other. Obviously, it'll move as we get closer to game time. But are you surprised to not really see a whole lot of interest in this one?
No, I'm not. I'm having a hard time with this one. I think Cal 1's about right. I don't want to play on the Pac-12. Why? The Pac-12's 2-14 against the spread. That's the run in bowl games for the Pac-12 last two-plus seasons. I also, you know, don't want to play. I think there's coaching. As much as I like Justin Wilcox, this is his first bowl game as a head coach. Gary Patterson, it's his 17th bowl game. So, but I don't want TCU with a third-string quarterback. In this one. And I'm also worried, I mean, TCU starting quarterback, supposed to be the future of the program, Robinson, who got hurt earlier this year, he transferred out. So I don't. That's not a good look for the program for TCU. I'm really struggling with it. It's one that I guess I'd lean Cal. Lowest total on the board, and I get it, but at this time, you know, where it's priced at now, the two teams are combined, you know, 15-9 to the over. We saw a very low total in the UAB Northern Illinois game go over. I'm talking pizza money here, and I'm talking Little Caesars $5 hot and ready pizza on over 38.5 for me. This is one bowl game I don't have a strong opinion on.
I'll ramble for a couple of seconds here because I'm curious the answer to this, if you know this. If this is the lowest total in a bowl game that we've ever seen with that total 38.5 in that range. But you know, you mentioned the coaching thing here. I mean, I think Justin Wilcox has done a great job with Cal. I think a lot of people agree with that sentiment. For TCU, Gary Patterson is a very good head coach. TCU, a chance to go 7-6, which we talked about already, something that the team do kind of get excited about there. So, you know, maybe this game surprises all of us and winds up being better than we think. But also, I think from a watchability standpoint, of the, you know, 39 or 40 bowl games, this one's probably about at the bottom.
Yeah, from watchability aspect, no question. But very important for both as far as the future of the program. So I hope both come ready to play. You know, I don't have that, and I don't know that one off the top of my head as far as lowest bowl total. But I'll tell you what, I'll tweet it out later today and get you an answer. It's the lowest total that I can remember in quite some time. I think there was a TCU-Michigan State game from 5-6 years ago that was quite low. But, I mean, 38.5 is as low as we've seen. And we've seen – relatively low numbers, even though scoring's up in college football, generally speaking, last 5-6 years. We had an Akron, Northern Illinois game in midweek that was really low earlier this year. That went over the total. So I'd be careful. You know, generally speaking, I like to play under the lowest total and over on the highest total. But in this particular instance, I did look this up, Adam, when I was doing research on the game. As far as games this year, totals games priced at 41 or lower in Division I football, FBS and FCS this year, the over is 31-22. So, and these low totals have generally went over this season.
All right, good stat there. As we transition to Thursday, December 27th, the Walk-Ons Independence Bowl in Shreveport between Temple and Duke. And despite Matt Foley, doppelgang Ed, with a very spirited press conference about Temple, there's a pretty significant coaching edge for the Duke Blue Devils in this game. And yet, this line's gone from Temple -3 to Temple -4.5.
Yeah, and I'm going to take Duke. Are you kidding? I mean, David Cutcliffe's 8-2 against the spread in bowl games. And one of those ATS losses, I think, was one of the worst beats in the history of college football, the bowl game against Cincinnati. I had Duke in that one. I'll remember. It was one of the games I bet. I wasn't betting as much as I do now, but that was one where I took off the rubber band and had one of my bigger bets of the year on Duke in that game. And I'll never forget that as long as I lived, how they didn't cover the spread in that game against Cincinnati. Scott Van Pelt, that's the game that started this whole bad beat segment. And the highlights of that one is at the top of the show each and every week. So to put that in perspective, so Cutcliffe, extremely good in bowl games. Ed Foley, I mean, I'll give him credit. This is not his first, it's his second, but how'd he do the first go around? I mean, Temple lost outright as a 10.5-point favorite against Wake Forest, and I loved Wake Forest in that one from a couple seasons ago when he was the interim. I get it. Duke looked miserable in that finale, losing 59-7, but I think we're catching value off of what I think that was the biggest disparate result against the spread this entire season. The fact that Duke was a double-digit favorite and lost 59-7, I can't think of a bigger one this entire season. You know, 60-some points off the Vegas line. You know, the Buckeyes would be against Purdue or Iowa last year. It's something that comes relatively close to that. But I'll take the value on Duke. I get they're a little bit banged up. They could get one of their linebackers back, and we'll see. He's questionable. He's one of their leaders as far as the defense goes. I think Daniel Jones will have success against that Temple defense, similar to UCF had success, Houston had success, Buffalo, all good dual threat quarterbacks that had success against the Owls. Yeah, I got a head coach against a really good head coach, a Hall of Famer against an interim. It hasn't worked out. The interim coaches look pretty good this past Saturday, but I think more often than not they won't. So I'll take Duke plus the points.
All right, let's go out to the Bronx here. Miami and Wisconsin, New Era Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium. I imagine it'll be a little bit of a pro-Miami crowd here for this one. But this is Miami, a 3-point favorite, opened 4. Now we're down to 3. So Wisconsin getting a little bit of interest here. Does that surprise you?
Wait, hold on. Was that their Miami will have the crowd advantage?
I think they will.
They barely have the crowd advantage when it's not a big game at home. They're not going to travel to New York. Again, there might be some alumni there, but no, I'll tell you what. We can have a friendly bet when there'll be more red in that stadium than whatever other colors are out there for Miami. You want a friendly $5 bet on that?
That's fine. We can do that.
Okay. Wisconsin will travel more than Miami. I'm not too surprised. Miami, one of their best players is out. Willis, I mean, at the defensive line, he's one of the better defensive linemen in the country. And boy, if there's a spot where I don't want to be out against Wisconsin, both teams are extremely disappointing. But Wisconsin, at least one thing they can hang their hat on is that offensive line and running back Taylor, the nation's leading rusher, nearly 2,000 yards. He's the best player on the field. And now my best defensive lineman's out for Miami. I don't think that's a good look. I don't know if I can trust either team's quarterback position. I mean, if you're talking why did these teams vastly underachieve this year, it comes down to quarterback play. Pathetic for both teams. Hornibrook still has more experience, and I still think if he can play and be healthy, he'd be the most reliable. I think Manny Diaz still coaching is probably a positive for Miami. They want to send him off a winner. Those defensive players really love him. He's off the Temple, but he is going to coach in this game. I was one of the people that took Wisconsin above the three-point spread here. I got Wisconsin plus 3.5. At 3, I don't like it as much. I would also lean under here as well in this game at 48.
All right, let's go to the Texas Bowl then, where I know we won't have a disagreement on the crowd edge because it's going to belong to Baylor in the city of Houston here. A much shorter trip for the Bears than it is for the Commodores, who – they don't have much of a home field advantage presence either when they're in Nashville. So interesting game here between a couple of programs that are both looking to go 7-6. Matt Rhule with an impressive turnaround at Baylor. Anytime Derek Mason takes Vanderbilt to a bowl game, it's a strong season for them. Vanderbilt's a 4-point favorite in this one. What do you think about the game?
I lean on Baylor, although outside of the crowd advantage, I can't really hang my head around Baylor having a significant edge in any particular spot. Jalen Hurd, their leading receivers, out for the game. The crowd got to be worth a couple of points, but Vanderbilt was damn good to close the season. They did close with 5 straight covers, although sometimes you get a little bit pricey when you've been making money at the end of the season. I think both teams are relatively excited to be there. Both teams won. That stat I gave earlier on in the segment, but as far as play on teams that clinch bowl eligibility in their final game of the regular season. Both did so, Vanderbilt over Tennessee and Baylor getting that win over Texas Tech. So I think both are excited. Both need a win. This game is very important to it. I'll just lean Baylor because of the crowd advantage. But I got to tell you, Adam, I do think Vanderbilt is definitely the better team.
Well, I mean, Vanderbilt offensively has actually been pretty good this year. Kyle Shermer's done a good job taking care of the football. They've got 1,000-yard rusher. A lot of good things going on for Vanderbilt here. You know, for Baylor, I mean, what about the coaching edge? I mean, do you think that there is one between Matt Rhule and Derek Mason?
I'd probably slightly favor Matt Rhule a little bit. I do respect Derek Mason. I think overall, I think Vanderbilt got a little spoiled with James Franklin and some of the success they have, success that they had. I think he's doing a decent job. If you're getting Vanderbilt right around 500 in the SEC, with the academic restrictions that they have in the athletic budget, I think you're doing fine. But to me, I guess I'm a Matt Rhule guy. I'm still surprised he took this job at Baylor. I think he's a superior head coach.
All right, let's go over to the NFL. A couple of games I want to hit on with you there. Game 113-114, Houston and Philadelphia. The Texans opened a 1.5-point favorite in the offshore marketplace. Now Philadelphia as high as a 2.5-point favorite out there. Obviously, some new life for the Eagles last week with Nick Foles. They're right back in the playoff hunt now if they can get a little bit of help. What do you think about this game here in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think both teams are overrated. But in this particular case, I think Philadelphia is a little bit overrated. I think a clear overreaction to what happened last week. I mean, now you're telling me, you know, Philadelphia is just slightly worse than Houston. I mean, that's not what we've seen so far from these two teams this season. But I will say Houston, generally speaking, is relatively overrated. I think 5 of their 10 wins have come by, you know, to single digits or less than a touchdown. And I am worried about them moving forward. I mean, they have allowed 52 sacks this year. That's the worst mark in the NFL. But who do I trust more? Give me Deshaun Watson. I know it's back-to-back road trips. I know Philly's feeling excited, but I'd have a slight lean on Houston at the current number. I'm not buying all this Philly love just because of one win against the Rams last weekend.
I want to touch real quickly here on Cincinnati and Cleveland. I know I didn't send this over to you in the notes, but you know, you're an Ohio guy, so I know this is a game with some interest for you because, I mean, Cleveland favored by more than a touchdown. I mean, it feels like this has never happened in our lifetimes, and I know that it has, but damn, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been since 2010. They were favored by a significant margin, I think, over the Panthers. I think the last time Cleveland, and this line continues to go up, last time they're laying doubles was 2007 against the 49ers. I remember that game well. I think it snowed. It was the regular season finale, I think, against the 49ers. Cleveland wrapped up, what was it, a 10-6 season. Somehow they didn't get to the playoffs that year. It's tough laying this kind of number at Cleveland. It's tough just seeing that number. I do think they're the one team that doesn't have much of a playoff shot, but don't tell that to the Browns. I think they'll be max motivated here. Hugh Jackson will not get a warm welcome in his return back. But I think all that's being priced on the line in this case. To me, no, really no bet. If the line continues to go up, though, I wouldn't mind leaning with Cincinnati.
Well, and the reason I ask you about that game, I know we've talked about you playing on historical outliers and some of these lines that, you know, we haven't seen in a long time, but it sort of feels like in week 16 and 17 of the NFL, you kind of have to relax that process a little bit.
That's a good point, Adam. Yeah, you're going to see a lot of outliers coming down the stretch. Outlier lines, why? I mean, teams are shutting it down for the season, getting ready to get their tee times up here in a couple of weeks. So you do see a lot more outliers when it comes to the regular, the NFL the last couple of weeks, and I agree with you. Generally speaking, if this was week 3 or 4 and I saw this line, then I'd be definitely on the Cincinnati side. The fact that I got to question how they want to finish out the season, they kind of got their one win last week against Oakland. I got some general concerns, and Cleveland, to me, I don't think will be afraid to put one on Cincinnati if they're given the opportunity.
One more game I want to hit on with you here in the NFL, game 127-128, Pittsburgh and New Orleans. Saints laying 6, mostly market-wide. There are some 5.5 still out there as well. Man, this Saints offense over the last 4 weeks or so just hasn't looked particularly good.
Yeah, they pretty much changed how they win football games here. I mean, first 8 games of the season, New Orleans, the average score is 35-27. Last 4 weeks, 20-13. So clear change as far as, you know, New Orleans winning with defense now instead of offense. And I got to wonder, you know, Drew Brees at 39 going on 40 at the end of the season. Is it taking a toll on him a little bit? And we've seen Tom Brady have slower finishes to the season once December hits around. In probably 3 of his last 4 seasons. So that's my concern for that one. I think, to me, this one comes down to what happens the night before. If Baltimore pulls the outright upset over the Chargers, then Pittsburgh can ill afford a loss here. I mean, their chances as far as the playoffs get skewed tremendously if Baltimore wins and they lose this week. So, I mean, if Baltimore wins on Saturday night, I think Pittsburgh's got to be max motivated here. If Baltimore loses, and obviously they're an underdog to do so, I would say, you know, Pittsburgh can relax maybe a little bit. They don't need the game as much. So I think, and this is another strong point when it comes down to the NFL last couple of seasons, and you got staggered games as far as time slots. Look to see what's happening in those prior games and see how it's affecting the team as far as their playoff chances and positioning. Sometimes you get teams that are a lot more motivated than what you thought, and sometimes you get teams that are a lot less motivated than what you thought.
Yeah, and that Baltimore game, you know, obviously of significant interest for Pittsburgh, but also of significant interest for the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday afternoon, because if Baltimore loses, Indy and Tennessee likely in a play-in game in week 17. So, you know, that kind of puts Indianapolis in a much different spot for that big number that they're laying against the New York Giants. Brad Powers, professional handicapper over at bradpowerssports.com. What's going on over there right now, man?
Yeah, I just talk about it each and every week, and why not? It's my newsletter, and for the rest of the year, it's $49. But let's talk about how that newsletter is done here. And Out of the last 15 weeks, if you just bet on all the best bets in college and pro, you'd be 73-37. 73-37, that's not straight up. That's against the spread the last 15 weeks. But don't buy it for the picks. Buy it for the information. You get write-ups on every single one of the bowl games that are left remaining, a couple weeks left of the regular season. You get a pick on each and every one of the playoff games. You got schedule logs, power ratings, a whole bunch of trends, computer projected lines, you name it, and a whole lot more. $49 to the Super Bowl, bradpowersports.com.
And of course, you can follow Brad on Twitter at Brad Powers and the number 7. And real quick here for our listeners, looks like the Gasparilla Bowl expected to have some pretty bad weather tonight. I know there's already been tornado warnings and stuff in the state of Florida. So, you know, obviously, again, on game day, make sure you're checking out everything that's going on. And, Brad, I know you're always on top of stuff like that. So sorry for holding you up for a couple more minutes. But, you know, these weather factors, definitely something that can be overlooked in the bowl season.
Absolutely. And if you'd have been part of that newsletter, you'd have gotten locked in on the under here at 55.5. Number right now is 51.5 and probably dropping.
Oh, and there you go. So definitely check out that newsletter over at bradpowersports.com, at Brad Powers and the number 7. Brad, thank you so much, brother, as always. We'll talk to you again here next week.
All right. Take care, my friend.
Always great to talk with Brad Powers. Again, bradpowersports.com, the website, Brad Powers and the number 7 on Twitter. And that newsletter is absolutely incredible. I don't think he charges enough for as much information as in that thing. So you definitely want to make sure that you're checking out something like that. I think it's a very good investment for you. Obviously, we talk all the time on the shows here about trying to do your own handicapping and trying to give you the tips and tools to be able to do your own handicapping there for yourself. But never a bad thing to see what some other people out there are thinking about. And then also, you know, obviously with information and the stuff that he talks about here on the segments, very, very good stuff. At that, we got one more guest and one more segment for this Thursday edition of Bang the Book Radio. That is with professional handicapper Tony George from Doc Sports. Tony, how's it going today, man?
Oh boy, just stuffing the stockings with cash, buddy. Just fired up for some more bowl releases today, and on a nice little 41-17 overall hoops run right now in college and pro hoops. So I'm kind of dialed in and in sync in basketball and making up for kind of a not-so-good football season. I tell it like it is, coming off a 160-unit game baseball season. So kind of sandwiched in a not-so-good football season, finishing strong here in the bowls of the NFL, but nonetheless excited about basketball and, of course, some upcoming bowl games and some crazy times in the NFL, so I'm kind of yanking my hair out and excited at the same time, Adam.
I got to ask, Tony, I mean, you know, we talk about this all the time. You've been in the business for a long time. Obviously, if you're in this doing it seriously, you have a lot of ups and downs over the course of your career, and as long as you have more ups than downs, it's a very good thing. Is it just a variance thing for you in football this year, or is it, you know, maybe a tightening of the market that you didn't account for?
I think it's a combination of both. You know, I grew up in this business in the early to mid to late 90s, you know, when I was just kind of a young lad. And there was a gentleman out here, I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with this name, Mike Lee, who was a mentor of mine, and he wrote a lot of books on handicapping, especially baseball. And I still use a lot of those techniques in baseball that you know, he mentored me on. Mike passed away in 2006, unfortunately. But along the way, you have to learn to adapt a little bit, take different things into consideration. And maybe here the last couple of years, I've been a little slow to adapt to those things. Hey, if you play good defense and run the football in the NFL and your quarterback's serviceable, you know, that's enough. You know, playoff season, you just try and pick the straight-up winner, who you think's going to do, and whatever the line is with them, you take them. And some of these older philosophies, you know, you can throw them out the window now. So there's been a little bit of things I need to adapt to. But, you know, for the last year and this year were not great football seasons for me, and yet the three previous years before that, I was ranked number one or number two in the NFL. at a respected monitor for the season, you know. And so I've had a couple of down years. I'm very transparent. Anybody that goes to my YouTube page over there, Doc Sports and Tony George, just search it. I give daily updates, and unlike, you know, like 90% of the handicappers out there, I actually tell it like it is. And I know the guys you have on your show, and Brad Powers, who I have a lot of respect for, these guys tell it like it is, but there's a lot who don't. But it's just been one of those years, you know, and I've had 26 years in this business. I've had, you just don't last that long, you know, by blowing smoke up people's ass, you know, you get, you know, and saying, oh, I'm 9-1 on Monday Night Football, when clearly you're 1-9 or you're 5-4, and you know, and with the information age the way it is now, you have to tell it the way it is because they're going to call you out if you don't. So I think being transparent is good, and I need to change some philosophy a little bit, handicapping football going into next year. Bowl games kind of remain the same, you know, in terms of how I'm approaching them. I've been highly successful with them at, this year as well. So we'll see how it goes. We'll finish out strong, and we'll stay dialed in hoops.
Well, and I think it's one of those things too. And I mean, you know, I'm not selling selections or moving around the kind of money that you are, but you know what I do for Bang the Book, it is a year round handicapping process covering all of the sports. And, you know, sometimes you're going to excel at one sport, maybe be down a little bit at others. And, you know, it's tough because you're constantly going, trying to make these adjustments. And if you do it across, you know, basically 5 or 6 sports, like you're doing it with your clients, there's a lot going on there. You know, some personal handicappers can just key in on one sport where they feel like they're very good. But when you've got clients that want information, want plays, you're doing every sport. Even if you don't feel like your edge is as strong as it is, you know, in past years or as strong as it could be, it's a tough thing to be really good across the board.
It is tough, and it's even tougher to meet expectations. You know, I'm also like on an insane run in the NBA. I think I'm 23-9. Okay, so now, and we have I have a substantial move tonight in the Heat and Rockets game, and so they're going to have a lot of guys jump on board, and I know that if I bump up the units on a play, you know, and you know guys are coming that this guy's hotter than hell, and he's, you know, he's hit 23 out of 32, and he, you know, this, that, and the other, he swept Wednesday night, so I'm going to jump on board. Whether you have that one guy that jumps on board for that big play and wasn't on board for the whole season where you're up 58 units year to date and you lose that guy, that one play, you lose that play. Well, you're only as good as your last pick and you're a loser, the lowest common denominator in human filth, which is why for the most part, even when I'm on a solid roll, I won't throw out, you know, a big play very often. I flat bet across the board. I tell them, And so you have all these customer expectations that you're managing, you know, in a site like Doc Sports that has a lot of clients. You know, you're responsible for $100,000 or more in wagers on any given evening where people are going off of your advice. And it's very difficult sometimes to maintain, I think, any level of sanity if things start going south on you. You know, it really weighs heavy. A lot of guys don't give a rat's ass. They just put up, you know, a game of the year the next day. I don't operate like that. So I keep it low volume. I talk about it on your show all the time. Less is more. You know, slow and steady wins the race. That way you don't get too high or you don't get too low. I'm a low volume guy, which allows me to find the best number on the board and bet into that number. Not a game, but bet into a number that I feel has a better than average chance of winning and maintain some sort of consistency. That's the key in wagering, is just maintaining consistency and managing your bankroll. So instead of selling picks, I'm kind of selling that whole package, and people understand my philosophy, and they also understand as easily as I can go 9-1, I can go 1-9, and I know what the hell I'm doing, Adam. So it is a double-edged sword, and it's definitely anybody that's listening that wants to get into this business, I would advise probably not to get into it. One football season will put 5 years on your face real quick in terms of stress and sleep deprivation and worrying and scratching your head. And you sometimes when you're in those losing streaks, you know, you can't see the forest because of all the trees. And And so what I've learned over 26 years, how to adapt and how to, you know, snap out of it. And, you know, I have friends in the business like you have friends in the business. I can call them up and talk to them about, you know, this, that, or the other. And, you know, I have a couple of really good friends out here in the handicapping business. And they've talked me off the ledge more than one time, and I've done the same to them.
All right, let's touch on this Sunday night football game here. Kansas City and Seattle. Kansas City, 2.5-point favorite going up to the Pacific Northwest. Seattle, a home underdog for the second time this season, third time in the last 2 years. Prior to that, they weren't a home dog, and they weren't a home dog since 2012. So what do you think about this one here on Sunday night football? Patty Mahomes and company heading up to a very tough atmosphere.
Well, I'll tell you what. The one thing about, and everybody knows I lived in Kansas City 12 years, unless you're living under a rock or don't listen to the show very often, but I've been a Chiefs fan my whole life and obviously excited about this year's edition of the Kansas City Chiefs, but you have to ask yourself this question. Kansas City has had three tests this year, and they failed every one of them. They had a test against Tom Brady on the road. They failed, albeit it was 3 points, but they failed. They had a test against the Rams on the road this year. Hell of a game, 50-something to 50-something, one-point loss, but it's a loss. You had a test last week against San Diego, and you lost. And so the three best teams you played this year, you're 0-3. No matter how good Patrick Mahomes is, you know, losing Kareem Hunt, one of the best all-around backs in the league, having a defense that is a funnel to the end zone, and something that you need to discuss at this point in time of the year, late December, early January, this is no breaking news to you, Adam. You have Andy Reid as a head coach in big games and in the postseason, and he's laid an egg everywhere he's been, Kansas City and Philly. Here's another big game. Seattle took the day off last week. They got beat. Kansas City, you know, grabbed a defeat from the jaws of victory, albeit I'll give Mahomes this much. He did lose against two future Hall of Fame quarterbacks in Phillip Rivers and Tom Brady. That being said, I don't know the outcome of the side play in this game, but I can only look at the over 53. I think Kansas City has an offense that nobody can stop. You know, I don't. You might be able to contain them to 27. They played a couple of good defenses this year in Baltimore and Denver, and all those games they hovered around 24 to 27 points, well under their season average. I don't think that Seattle has those type of defenses. I don't think Kansas City is going to be intimidated by playing out on the West Coast in a very tough stadium. They're used to loud stadiums because they have the loudest stadium in the league. Followed by Seattle. But at the end of the day, Kansas City's not going to be able to stop Russell Wilson. They are Seattle with his ability not only to run the football, which Kansas City can't stop Grandma Costco pushing a shopping cart on defense, they're going to be able to run the ball successfully against Kansas City. Russell Wilson's going to move the chains on third down, and they're going to put points up. And I think Kansas City can easily counter those points. And I like the over in this game. The side play to me is too close to call. It wouldn't shock me if Seattle beat them in a three-point ball game one way or the other. And it wouldn't shock me if Kansas City beat them by 3 points. I think the side play, I don't see a lot of value in the number. But I do see that total being suspect at, you know, at 50, you know, 53, 53 and a half, whatever it is right now, because my computer is down today, Adam. My internet's out, so I'm doing this all by the fly. But I think Kansas City and Seattle have a night. I think it'll be a great football game to watch, and I think there'll be a lot of scoring.
Yeah, you're right. The total is 53 for this one. And something that's interesting, I mean, it is fascinating, that Baltimore game against the Chargers on Saturday night, how much that impacts everything else going on Sunday. It has a direct impact on the Indianapolis game, has a direct impact on the Pittsburgh-New Orleans game, and also on this Kansas City-Seattle game. If the Chargers find a way to lose to Baltimore, Kansas City's in a situation where if they give a max effort on Sunday night and win, nobody has to play next week against Oakland because they'll have the division wrapped up. So, you know, it's one of those things where that game on Saturday night just means so much. And if you can get, you know, Travis Kelce a week off, Tyreek Hill a week off, Pat Mahomes a week off, you know, maybe play the maybe they treat it like a preseason game, like the first preseason game, play a series and then get the hell out of Dodge against Oakland. That may be a motivating factor for the Chiefs. So a lot going on here in week 16, but you know, I agree with you that, you know, for Kansas City this year, they did beat the Chargers in the first game they played them. They also got badly outgained in that game.
Yeah, they did. And I think we talked about that last week on your show. And I brought that up. Kansas City thoroughly got outplayed against San Diego in the first game of the season. The problem was Phillip Rivers had three, and I mean three touchdown passes where it hit the receivers in the hands where nobody was even close. The closest Kansas City defender was 5 yards away, including Antonio Gates in that game. Keenan Allen and one other receiver dropped three wide-open touchdown passes, or it would have been a completely different outcome. And I'm not discounting Kansas City's prowess. They have gotten better as the year goes along. They have an equal quarterback in this game. They have a better, I think, overall receiving core. Now they got Kelvin Benjamin in there. I think they have a serviceable running game. You know, Kelce's, you know, going to be a future Hall of Famer. He's a great player. Kansas City and Tyreek Hill is basically their answer to Lockett. There's a lot of interesting matchups in this game, but Kansas City is a team with a lot of talent. I'm telling you, you cannot, and I tell my Kansas City brethren all the time, my Facebook and stuff, but they're all fanatical Chiefs fans. Like, you need to manage your expectations because you are not. I think the last team that had a mediocre defense and just a killer offense was the St. Louis Rams. And they were able to win the Super Bowl with Kurt Warner and not playing much defense and just outscoring people. It's just not the league right now where you can start to outscore people. And that being said, right now, you said there's so much going on. Adam, there's a lot of teams that are losing their identity and some that are gaining them, you know, as in the Saints. Their offense, you know, regardless of – I know they're playing Pittsburgh this weekend. They're back in the dome, but their offense has sputtered severely over the past 3 weeks. So was the Bears, but then their defense has stepped way up. Kansas City's offense has sputtered a little bit, and they've missed a few beats because Kareem Hunt is gone. Kareem Hunt was a hell of a ball player, a difference maker. And it's hard. And then you had Spencer Ware go down, you know, with a little bit of it. He's not 100%. So then you take that out of the mix. And Hill wasn't 100% last week with a bad foot, you know, against San Diego. And he didn't make a lot of huge plays. So, you know, there's just a lot of teams out there you're trying to figure out. Baltimore still doesn't have an identity. Now they got Lamar Jackson, a quarterback. What are they going to bring to the table? There's just a lot of things going on where, you know, there's a lot of topsy-turvy things. The best thing I can tell you about the NFL this Sunday, it's going to be wild, it's going to be wacky, and it's going to be very unpredictable, especially late in the second half of some of these games. You want to really tread lightly this Sunday and Saturday.
All right, so let's transition over to the college basketball side of things here for a couple of minutes. And Texas Tech, undefeated team, elite defense. Ken Pomeroy has them with the number one defense in the country. Bart Torvik has them with the number four defense in the country. They meet Duke tonight at Madison Square Garden. It's been nothing but Duke money here this morning. Duke up from 7 to a 10-point favorite. I know you're a Big 12 guy, Tony. What do you think about Texas Tech and their chances tonight at MSG?
Well, I've got a totals play in this game, and I had my charts pulled up, but Cox Cable decided to do maintenance on the internet today, so I don't have my numbers in front of you, but you know, I guess the question is, can the Red Raiders slow down this offense? And my answer to that is probably no. Can they slow it down enough to get the cover now that it's been steamed up to 10? You're probably going to see 11, 11.5. If it gets up around that number, it's probably worth the stretch to take Texas Tech. But one thing I want you to remember about Texas Tech, and I did write down this note because I was doing my handicapping for the total in this game, their schedule, 350th in the country, strength of schedule. you know, and of course, you know, Duke was inside the top 100 with their schedule, and they're picking on all comers, and it's to me, I just think Duke's got too much for him. I really do. I don't think the Raiders are going to be able to come up with enough offense or enough stops on defense to keep it close. This is the type of game that Mike Krzyzewski lives for. And they've had a couple of tests on national TV this year. One of them was a loss against Gonzaga at the Maui Classic. But at days in here, I think this is going to be a big step up in class for Texas Tech. And I guess their only signature win this year, Texas Tech, was beating Nebraska at the Sprint Center in Kansas City. And obviously Nebraska's a very good basketball team this year, but that was a game where Nebraska shot, you know, around 30% from the floor and just couldn't get out of their own way. I don't know what they just didn't show up that day. But, you know, if I had to take a side that gets much over 10, I'd probably lean Tech in this one. But I think Duke's the best team in the country. I think when they get their bigger guy healthy, they're going to be almost unbeatable. Madison Square Garden, you know, Duke's used to the big stage. Even though they have a young team, Krzyzewski knows how to coach them, you know, on a big stage like that, on a national TV game. Texas Tech, not so familiar with that. Down in Lubbock, stadium half full. I could lean Duke here, but if it gets any higher than 10, you know, it's either stay away or you got to take the points. But I think it wouldn't surprise you, Adam, if Duke won by 23 tonight.
It would. And that's one of those things. I think it speaks to the last point that you made there that, you know, Duke is used to this spotlight. And I know Texas Tech made a big run in the NCAA tournament last year, but this is Duke's element. I mean, yeah, the Cameron Crazies aren't there, but this is still Duke's element. I mean, they're very accustomed to these big spotlight types of games. And, you know, for Texas Tech, as you mentioned, and this is as big of a step up in class as you can possibly get with the schedule that they've played. So, I guess go ahead.
The other thing I was just going to say is it's been since November 21st since Duke has scored less than 84 points. And that 84 points they scored was against Gonzaga. I'm just saying, you know, if you take a look at Texas Tech's schedule, I'm apologize for my internet being down, so I have this all queued up for you. But if you take a look at Texas Tech's schedule, it's just the only team they played of any substance was Nebraska, and albeit they beat them. I think they beat them 72-58 or something like that. It was Nebraska did not have a good day from the floor. But at the end of the day, so I'll give Texas Tech that. They played a top 25 team, and they beat them convincingly. Everybody else they played is a putz. This is a huge step up in class, and you know, the question I asked you, Adam, is the question I ask myself at games like this. And I pretty much avoid games like this. I'll look at totals. I won't look at sides and marquee games very often because obviously this is going to be a pros versus Joe if it gets over 10. You know, I mean, the pros are all going to take the points to Texas Tech. The public will continue to pound Duke. But at the end of the day, I ask myself the same question I asked you. Can Duke probably beat these guys by 20? Yeah, they can. If I can't answer that question with a positive yes, then I'll consider the underdog a lot more. But literally, Duke could win this game, you know, by 20, 23 points. I mean, really could. And especially if Texas Tech gets you know, the one thing about a game like this, Adam, you know, you've seen this when we talk about the big stage. If Duke gets out to a 20-5 lead out of the gate, then you get the deer in the headlights routine with a team that's not used to that stage, against a team that's used to that stage and against a team and a coach that knows how to close on that stage. And that's where it gets away from you in the second half. If you think Duke's going to come out against them and show them up, I haven't seen the half timeline, but is probably half of that. I don't know what Duke's laying in the first half. Probably behoove you, you know, to maybe play a first half line in this if it's manageable.
All right, so I know that you're working a little bit shorthanded with the internet being out over there, but I did want to touch quickly on the Kansas and Arizona State game coming up on Saturday. Kansas undefeated, 10-0, but this is their first true road game with this trip out to Tempe. Have you seen a Jayhawks team that, you know, can go into a little bit different of an atmosphere and come away with a cover and a victory?
Yeah, you know, I was doing some work this morning. I got your email early this morning, my time, and started doing some work on this before I got shut down here. But the one thing that I looked at here, I'm expecting Kansas to be around. I got a power rating difference and on three different levels here of about Kansas. I've got a power rating on Kansas is 8 points higher than what Arizona State is. And I was a little disappointed to see Arizona State go down to Vandy, who I took them -1.5, and they got their butt whipped, you know, and Vandy's not that good. They also lost to Nevada, you know, a team of Kansas's caliber by 6, and that was back on the 7th, or first week of this month. I'm going to say the 7th, you know. You know, Hurley, you know, he's done a nice job with them, but I just think Kansas is going to have a little bit to you. You can get Kansas 6 or under in this game. Sometimes Kansas plays a little better away from home than they do at home. They take too much for granted at home, albeit Villanova gave them a hell of a game, you know, and Kansas has not looked good. New Mexico State gave them a game on a neutral floor that was in Kansas City, basically a home game. Kansas has not shown that eye of the tiger and that prowess to put teams away, but I watched that Arizona State and Vandy game, and Arizona State's got some holes on that team, and Arizona State lacks a lot of consistency on the offensive on the defensive side of the ball. They don't do well in transition defense, and that's one thing that Kansas will do because they basically have an all-guard type-driven team. You know, they got 3 stud guards on the floor anytime they run the ball well in transition, and Arizona State has a little trouble handling that. You know, I could only lean – if that number is 6 or under, I'm hoping to catch 4.5, 5 with KU. Probably worth a stretch on Kansas.
All right, I want to touch on the NBA here then, as we've got the holiday break coming up. And in the NBA, it's only one day, just Christmas Eve off and then a bunch of Christmas Day games. We'll talk about that in a second. But do you do anything differently with your handicapping because there's the distraction of the holidays coming up for these players?
I'll add an extra point to the home court team. That's it. Not really. You know, not really. They're organized enough to get their Christmas in out of the way with their families back in their hometowns early, you know, where they're living. I'm not one to give too much special consideration in the NBA. They're used to being on the road. They play 40-some games on the road every year. A lot of people put a lot of emphasis on it. I don't. You're getting to the point now in the NBA where you can pretty much rely on your last 5 game stats and get your overlays right. That's one thing we do in the NBA that I do, and I've been successful. NBA is one of my strongest sports. Teams are starting to have a lot of identifiers and comprehensive stats that I can – their efficiency ratings, this, that, and the other. You always have to take in injuries into account and things like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, these will be national TV games. Nobody's going to rest anybody on these big Christmas Day games. They're all going to play. And being on national television, especially with some of these Christmas Day games, both teams will bring it. They know, you know, it's very rare, you know, during – at any point in time in the NBA, except for the playoffs, that they have national primetime games that other than that aren't on, you know, TNT. ESPN will have a Wednesday night game, but, you know, it's rare. It's not like the NFL and college football where every time you turn on the TV and, you know, there's one of those games on here. And you can expect both teams to bring it and stay true to their stats. But I will give, you know, some home courts I'll give 1 or 2 or 3 points, very rarely 3. There's 3 or 4 teams I'll give a 3-point home court to, but I'll add an extra point to the home team, whether they're a favorite or a dog on Christmas Day, but that's about it. It's not a huge adjustment.
Well, when you look at Christmas Day here, over the last 5 years, the home team is 13-12 straight up and against the spread, so no real value there. The under is 14-9-2 on the under on Christmas Day over the last 5 years, 23-15-2 going back to the 2010 season. So maybe the under a little bit of an angle, but the sides pretty much straight up across the board, 13-12 both straight up and against the spread. So Tony George, professional handicapper over at Doc Sports. What do you got going on over there right now, Tony?
Well, we're on a big roll, and anybody that joins our site gets free $60 if they're a new member. And so if you want to take advantage of that, and you know, you have access to our daily spreadsheets and what we did the night before, what we played, what the score was, how many units we had on it. It's 100% transparent. Everybody's got a smartphone nowadays, you know. You can just text the word Tony to 29022. That's Tony to 29022. You'll get a link on your phone, on your smartphone. Just tap on that, put in your name and email address, and you've got an account with $60 in it. No strings. You don't need a credit card, and you can give us a try. And even those that money that we give you for free, you can use to purchase play packages. Once you purchase them, even though it's free money, those are backed by 100% pure profit guarantee. It's a win-win. It's a nice stocking stuffer. Just text the word Tony to 29022 and get hooked up. 41-17 run in basketball right now, Adam, and 18-8 run in college hoops. I'm excited about that. 9-0 the last two Saturdays, a 4-0 and a 5-0 back-to-back Saturday weekends, and really dialed in and really looking forward to getting to conference action in college basketball. But out of the gate, we're doing very well.
Tony George, who's working, you can find over at Doc Sports at T-George Sports on Twitter. Tony, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and yours, bud, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, I want to wish everybody here. I get a lot of guys to come over. I want to give you some props, Adam, and I read some of your stuff over at bangthebook.com, too. You do a great job over there, and I really put a lot of emphasis on your insight there. Some good stuff there, but nonetheless I get a lot of guys on my YouTube page leaving channels saying they came over and heard me on the Bang the Book podcast there. And so I want to tell all your listeners out there, especially the ones that came over to YouTube and followed my daily free play videos and updates, thanks a lot for subscribing and following me over there. And I hope everybody has a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Appreciate it, Tony. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Always great to chat there with Tony George, again, professional handicapper over at Doc Sports. Coming up, Friday edition, Bang the Book Radio, Westgate Super Contest Selection segment, and Brent from DSI Sportsbook with this week's version of the odds report. That's how we'll wrap it up. We'll try to get something out for you Monday morning. If we can't, you'll hear from us on Wednesday. No show coming up on Tuesday of next week. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, and I will talk to you again tomorrow.